Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we conclude our Lenten Easter theme of this year here at St. John, though I may fail, this morning we think about the theme of rejecting the comfort of God's Word. Our text is the Gospel from Luke 24, and I share just verse 8. They remembered His words. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer. I've got this. I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. Those were Sean's words to his wife Erin. Sean was setting up a new gazebo that they had bought, putting it in their backyard. But the gazebo had a million parts. You know how those things are. They purchased it at the store. It was the last one. And though the box was beat up a bit, had some holes in it, they took a risk on it and bought it anyway. Upon getting it home, Sean found out that the instructions weren't in the box. But in his manly arrogance, he said, "That doesn't matter." He thought he could figure it out without the words. 10 hours into the project, the result was simply a bunch of parts spread out all over the patio. When Erin, his wife, asked if there was something that she could do, that's when Sean had snapped at her, "I don't need your help." 3 days later, Sean looked up the company on the internet. They emailed him the directions. Upon reading the directions, reading those words, he recognized that some pieces were missing. The company supplied those pieces. And with all the parts and with the words, the whole thing finally went together. Our pride can get in the way of listening, can't it? Sometimes in life we may think we don't need to listen because we firmly believe that our ideas, whatever it is that we're thinking of on our own, that our ideas are better than everyone else's. Sometimes we don't want to ask for help or listen because we're afraid of having to admit that we have made a mistake. And that's not something for which we are prepared. Maybe we won't listen simply because we already know enough already. What could someone add to my understanding that I don't already know? And all of the time, when we are not listening, we aren't hearing God. And not hearing God means living life without the assurance of His grace and forgiveness. Today, on this Easter morning, we can understand that living without resurrection assurance means living with fear and death. So I ask you this morning, can you hear God? Can you hear Him? The women were coming to the tomb at daybreak. And that word daybreak speaks a lot. 36 hours earlier, while it was still Friday, the women had watched as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped Jesus' body in some strips of linen after they had taken him down from the cross. They had washed Jesus' body up a bit because that's what they would have done, and they had laid him in a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid before. But they hadn't finished the burial properly, not according to Jewish tradition. In all of the craziness of Jesus' arrest and His trial and His death, there had been no time. No time for buying or preparing the spices. The spices that they needed to wrap in between all of those strips of linen in order to cover up the stench of death the next time somebody would go into that tomb to put another body in there. Beginning on sunset on Friday, the Sabbath began. And that Sabbath lasted until sunset on Saturday. And so, bound by the law and the terror of the law, these women sat at home, not being able to finish the job of burying a dead person. So, first thing at daybreak on Sunday morning, the first opportunity that they had, they were coming back to finish unfinished business. But they weren't coming looking for Jesus to be alive. They were coming looking for a dead body. That's why they brought the spices. They were looking for a dead man. That's when the angels said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" It's almost like the angels were mocking them a bit. There's a rebuff of those women on that Easter morning. Because what those angels said was true. Bringing spices with them, they couldn't argue. They couldn't make it say, "Oh, well, we weren't really looking for a dead body." Of course they were. All the way to the tomb, they've been saying, "Who's going to roll the stone away?" They had prepared the spices and brought them with them. They were looking for a dead one. But they shouldn't have been. They should not have been looking for a dead man that morning. For Jesus had told them that he was going to rise on the third day. The angels said to the women, like, "Duh. Why? Why are you looking for the living one among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee." Could they remember that? Had Jesus said that? Of course he had. If you're the skeptic and need to find it for yourself, just turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Because that's where Jesus had told them that. In Galilee, just as the angels were saying, right after the time where Peter had made his great confession and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus had gone into telling them about the future. And in Luke 9, Jesus had said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." So if Jesus had told them this all before, why weren't these women coming to the tomb to find a living Jesus? Why were they looking for a dead one? Because they were refusing to listen to the word of God. Stubbornly, flat out, refusing to listen to God's word. But now, with faith produced by connecting the dots between Jesus' words of prediction and the stone rolled back and the empty tomb and the charge of the angels declaring the resurrection, "He is not here, he has risen." Women went to tell the disciples and the rest of the followers about what had happened. They went to go be the first preachers of the Easter gospel. But instead of the disciples and the rest of the followers of Jesus sharing in their joy, they rejected those women. And they thought that their words were nothing but nonsense. Seems to be the pattern on Easter morning, doesn't it? I'm not going to listen to God's word. I'm just going to stubbornly ignore God's word. Hearing about an empty tomb, Peter ran to see. But Peter didn't go to the tomb looking for a resurrected Jesus. Like the women, Peter too had been refusing to listen to Jesus' words. Peter also had refused to listen to the angel's message that had come through the women to his ears. So even after Peter sees the empty tomb and he sees the linens there, those strips of linen that had wrapped the body of Jesus, even after he sees all of that, our text tells us Peter wanders away from the tomb, wondering to himself about what had happened. How sad, isn't it? What a party killer for this first Easter morning. I don't think they were decorating eggs and finding Easter baskets. Because most of the people involved in the story are refusing to listen to the message of Jesus anyway. Most of this story is full of people who fail God because of their doubts. It would take the appearance of Jesus on that Easter night to those disciples, the 10 when they were together, the 11 the week after, and all the numerous accounts of post-resurrection appearances that we heard in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11 this morning. It would take all of those plus Pentecost with the gift of God's Spirit before the church would have full confidence in the resurrection. So how's your resurrection hope this morning? In your conversations about God with others, and I hope there are some, but in your conversations about God with others, how often does the topic of the resurrection come up? When you are trying to offer help to a grieving person, do you just get all generic and say something like, "He's in a better place"? In your thoughts about your own eternal future, have you let go of your confidence that you will have your body raised physically and glorified to be just like Jesus? Or do you let the fear of death scare the tar out of you as you live your life, as you keep tenaciously going back to the doctor saying, "Fix me, fix me, fix me, because I'm scared to die"? Does it seem to you like you are scared to die, because once you are done with life here on earth, as difficult as it can be, but once you're done with life here, maybe life is over. The best is over, at least. Have you gotten yourself to that place of misery and despair where you are refusing to be comforted about your grief of a loss of a loved one who has departed in the faith, because you just don't want to listen to the words of resurrection? Do you believe that there is no grace nor forgiveness for you nor anyone else around you because you refuse to listen to God's word when he says, "You are forgiven"? Well, then, hear again the words of Easter. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Those are awesome words. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, "The body that is sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." And then a little later in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, "We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying, that is written, will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word. And my friends, it's time for us as the church to listen. To listen carefully to the words that God has been telling us all along. In those words comes confidence. The confidence to say, who cares how long I live here on earth? Because glory waits. In that word of God, our loved ones who believe rest secure with our Lord Jesus Christ because God has said so. In that word of God, I find the strength and the ability to live my life with reckless abandon. Come with me, because every day is going to be an opportunity for me to point to the resurrected Christ. Sins are gone through the cross. Life is secured through the resurrection. Now that's how we have a blessed Easter. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen.